Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Terry Arnold. He is the author of the recently published work, A World Less Safe. It's now available on Amazon. He is a regular columnist for Jeff Rentz, and you can find, of course, that website at rentz.com. Terry Arnold is a retired senior foreign service officer of the U.S. Department of State, whose immediate pre-retirement positions were as chairman of the Department of International Studies of the National War College and also as deputy director of the State Office of Counterterrorism and Emergency Planning. You can find the entire archive of Terry Arnold articles for Rentz by going to rentz.com and clicking on Terry Arnold. He has a piece that came out back on the 31st of March entitled Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. We're going to be discussing that article and some of Terry's other works with him through the next 2 hours. You can, at various points in the show, also give us a call at 1-800-313-9443. Terry, how are you, sir?
And Mark, how are you doing this morning?
Very good. I have been availing myself of a number of your articles after reading Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. Maybe we should start at that particular point. You make reference in the very first paragraph of your article to a book entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, which you say is the most important work on the history of Palestine that's appeared in decades. Tell us a little bit about that book and how it stimulated your thinking in regard to this whole business of Zionism and the birth of Middle East terrorism.
Well, Mark, I had been writing for some time trying to clarify the history of the development in Palestine, especially the development of the State of Israel. And I was having an enormous amount of trouble overcoming the official version of that history and what Ilan Papp, who is an Israeli historian of considerable courage, I would say, what he has done is go back very carefully, research from the Israeli records themselves, and build the picture of what happened in 1948 and in that period in which the Palestinians were expelled from much of Israel. He is not entirely alone in taking this position. There are a few other Israelis and a number of Western historians who would agree with him on the details of that past. But he does it particularly well and with great clarity, and he bases it mostly on official Israeli sources, so that's a big help.
Do you find that as you read through Papp's account of this, I have not yet read The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. I've read a few summaries of what's in the book, of course, which is not sufficient to do it justice, but for purposes of this conversation, do you see this whole tragedy related to this situation as being at the core of what is really wrong with American foreign policy in the Middle East?
Well, it's certainly one of the longest-standing flaws in our policy. And it's a basic flaw because, among other things, the United States stands for equality, for human rights, for freedom, and we have systematically ignored the abuses of the Palestinian people for 60 years.
Yes, and one of the things that comes to my mind in this regard, just as a very recent and I think tragic example of this, right here in our own borders, there is a guy named Hassan El Najjar, Dr. Hassan El Najjar. He has a website in Dalton, Georgia, entitled aljazeera.info, which people can access at aljazeera.info. When we come back, I wanted to make a brief remark about what has happened to Dr. El Najjar, and then to continue our conversation with Terry Arnold. You can find Terry's compendium of articles at rentz.com. We're going to be chatting about his most recent post, Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism, as well as many other things this morning. Stay tuned to Mark Dankos at RBN. We'll be back.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined this morning by Terry Arnold. He is the author of the recently published work, A World Less Safe. You can find that at Amazon. He's a regular columnist for Jeff Rentz at Rentz.com. You can find the Terry Arnold archives by going to Rentz.com and clicking on his name. Terry is a retired senior foreign service officer of the U.S. Department of State, whose immediate pre-retirement positions were as chairman of the Department of International Studies of the National War College and also as deputy director of the State Office of Counterterrorism and Emergency Planning. We've started our conversation this morning by talking about his most recent effort for Rentz entitled Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. And, Terry, as we have begun this conversation, one of the things that comes to my mind is a very tragic story that's just happened in recent days in this country, where Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, who has an English language website which comes right out of Dalton, Georgia, here in the United States, it's entitled aljazeera.info. I used to read that site every day. I have it posted on my own links page. It had all kinds of things in it related to the Middle East and related to Palestine. both pictorially as well as in the printed word. I suspect that probably some of your articles have turned up on that site from time to time. I'd have to go back and do some research on this. But apparently El Nizar has been the target of some incredible things recently in regard to political and personal and professional persecution that have caused him to make a decision to go off the air, as it were, at least for the conceivable future. As I examine that tragedy, it seems to me that this is maybe a small part of the piece of the puzzle that you talk about in the first paragraph of Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism, where you speak about the way in which the Zionists not only designed and executed a plan to expel the Palestinian people from their homeland, but they erased the history of those people from the landscape of the new state of Israel, and they created an ersatz history of the region to tell a false Israeli story. When you look at this whole issue of Palestine and the Middle East, both as it relates to things Israeli and American, are we not dealing with a very frightening phenomenon where the plight of the Palestinians has been, as you put it, literally erased and an entirely new history recreated and repristinated?
We're dealing with a very distorted, in my view, perspective on the flow of news and information out of that part of the world. The Al Jazeera problem that you describe is a long-standing one, as you know, in the Middle East. The American forces out there, the government out there, have had continuing difficulties, as they define the problem, with what Al Jazeera chooses to publish, because it tells many things that, frankly, our current administration would not like to see or hear. And there's been an effort to suppress Al Jazeera, and particularly in Iraq, and I'm not surprised that they would go after any manifestation of it here, because it tells another side of the story, and we need to be hearing that other side of the story.
What, in terms of your own work in the State Department, I don't know how long your own career goes in regard to truth-telling, Terry, as it relates to things Palestinian and Middle Eastern, but I suppose given your State Department lineage that it goes back a long time, to the extent that you were interested in researching these matters and giving us an objective political analysis on things Palestinian and things Middle Eastern, did that cause you a lot of difficulties when you were at the State Department or at the National War College?
Not a great deal because, well, particularly at the National War College, that was a pretty open information environment, and I think it probably still is. I had 4 years in that environment, 1 year as a student and 3 years in dealing with classes as the head of that department. And we had a very open discussion on all sorts of issues, including what was then the conduct of the Vietnam War and what was right and what was wrong about it and et cetera. So I would not see much of a problem there. In the State Department and in any other national security-related department of the U.S. government, there is always a conflict or a potential for conflict between the political leadership that's imposed in any particular administration and the longtime professionals who do the work. The longtime professionals, as a rule, tend to have a more balanced view of problems than the political leadership, and that has been a particularly acute problem in the present administration. The distance between what I might call a straightforward reality assessment and the political ideological positions of the neoconservative leadership has been pretty great.
Has that crisis, which I think is really, as you pointed out here, been exacerbated by this neoconservative phenomenon in the Bush administration with people like Wolfowitz and Pearl and Wormser and some of these other names. Has that crisis now reached a breaking point in terms of what I assume is a real cleavage now between these political appointees and neocons on the one hand in the Bush administration and the political and intelligence professionals on the other? And because as I look at this whole situation with the Iraq war, with what has happened in the last 4 years, it would seem to me that the Bush administration and the neocons would now be facing a credibility problem. just within Washington that would make it almost untenable for them to continue about their daily work in the Middle East?
Well, we see all sorts of signs of that, I think. There's no question that the neocon agenda has been pretty largely discredited. That doesn't mean that it's been totally abandoned by the Bush administration. I don't think it would see its way clear to do that. But it's having enormous difficulty maintaining any narrative that makes sense to the American public around the original neocon agenda as it appeared back in 2001. This is an enormous problem for the United States. Our policies are so deeply out of sync with our interests in principally in the Middle East, but not exclusively, that we have major problems of getting our act together.
Well, yes, and to me, and I've mentioned it before on this show, just as one who is a layperson in these matters who tries to read the works of experts like yourself in order to grasp what's going on, I look at the events of the last 4 years where I remember Wolfowitz saying before March of 2003 that the United States could win this war in Iraq and do the occupation and the rebuilding of the infrastructure of that country for $50 billion. We're now at $500 billion, I understand, and counting. The meter keeps running in regard to these supplemental appropriations bills that keep adding to the ante. And then, of course, that doesn't even begin to get at the question of the loss of life and the long-term political blowback that has ensued from all of this. But as I examine these things and look again at what has happened in Iraq and what seems to be just a mess that we cannot extricate ourselves from. What is troublesome as I examine all of this is that the Democratic Party at this juncture seems to be a little better than the Republican. In other words, you have Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and Barack Obama doing obeisance before the American-Israel Political Action Committee. I've read the texts of some of these speeches, and it sounds as neocon in its orientation as presumably what would be coming from the pen of some of the Republican contenders. And by the same token, we're now seeing statements from such people as Senator Carl Levin indicating that in his position as chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee that the Democrats are certainly not going to defund the war. So it seems that on issues of funding and issues related to matters Israeli in a presidential election cycle situation, that the actual foreign policy position of the two major parties on this subject of Israel and Palestine is largely one and the same. Is that a fair assessment or is that an overgeneralization?
Well, it's not much of an overgeneralization. I think what we've seen since the Democrats took over in both houses is a very cautious group of people trying to avoid getting at cross purposes with the stated agenda of the Bush administration. In this respect, while the neocons may be largely discredited in many areas of public awareness and public opinion, the basic agenda in Iraq is still being closely defended. And the Bush administration has stated that in such fashion that people don't dare interfere with it. You know, you would be undermining the troops in Iraq and et cetera, as they say it. So they've used what is basically a strategy of political fear to contain the opposition in the Democratic Party. And the Democrats, the leading Democrats, are fully falling prey to that. Obama and Hillary have both made their obeisances to the AIPAC group in Washington, the Israeli lobby, and they have pretty well gotten in line. Now, Nancy Pelosi went off to Syria and talked to Bashar al-Assad, which is something that she has, as in her political position, she has every right to do that as an American official. But what the Bush administration is trying to make her accept is that she violated the rules because she didn't stay in line with the Republican agenda. That's a nonsensical approach, but most people don't know enough about it.
Yes, and I read the other day Well, we'll come back to this. I wanted to pursue that a little bit with you. We have Terry Arnold on today. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find the Terry Arnold Archive at rents.com. We'll be back to discuss, among many other things, Terry's most recent work, Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Terry Arnold. He is the author of the recently published work, A World Less Safe, which you can find at Amazon. He's a regular columnist for Jeff Rentz. You can go to Rentz, R-E-N-S-E.com to find the Terry Arnold archives. Terry is a retired senior foreign service officer of the U.S. Department of State, whose immediate pre-retirement positions were as chairman of the Department of International Studies of the National War College and also as deputy director of the State Office of Counterterrorism and Emergency Planning. And among other things, we have started our conversation by looking at his post of March 31st for Rents.com entitled Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. And among other things that Terry underscores in this article, and he's made reference to it today in the first part of our conversation, is Ilan Pop's book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, which Terry Arnold terms the most important work on the history of Palestine that has appeared in decades. I need to get a copy of this book and to read it. And I trust that those of you who listen to this show who are interested in things Palestinian and Middle Eastern will also try to pick up that book. That's Ilan Pape, or Pap, P-A-P-P-E, is the last name. And the title of that book is The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. A number of things that you've mentioned, Terry, in this article. It's such a wonderful article. You could take hours to discuss individual sentences within individual paragraphs of this narrative. But one of the things that, as I read through it, that is underscored perhaps in this chat with you this morning, is that you say that the first myth to die under Pap's pen is Israeli innocence. What do you what did you mean by that statement?
Well, what he does is describe in detail the official record of how the then formative government of Israel was viewing the problem of how to take over Palestine. And he does, I think, an excellent job of using those materials to outline how David Ben-Gurion was using the two terrorist groups, Irgun and Stern, and the then formative Israel Defense Force called Haganah, to literally empty and destroy Palestinian villages. He paints that picture with enormous clarity, and he was one of few historians in Israel to do that. For his pains, by the way, he's now been forced to resign his job in the university there in Israel, and he's going to take up a position at a university in the United Kingdom. He has left Israel, and he indicates that there's a major effort being made to revise the history to get rid of the picture that he has painted so clearly.
Well, yes, and you know, it seems to me as with what little I know about this gentleman, which is largely through reading a few articles, including your own, he seems to fit a larger pattern in regard to what happens to people who engage in this sort of legitimate historical revisionism, and maybe that isn't the appropriate term to use in regard to this guy, because essentially he's not revising history. One can make the very, very legitimate case that he is simply trying to ensure that history is told according to what actually happened.
Simply put, he's engaged in truth-telling.
Yes. And, of course, this whole business of truth-telling has its consequences, and it seems to me that when we look at the Pap case, we're talking about it in this juncture in terms of academia. But I suppose that this story could also be told in terms of various positions in corporate economic structures and in international media as well, where, you know, where I realize in engaging in a so-called treading on thin ice here. But looking at it realistically, the Israeli tentacles reach into a lot of very important and powerful structures, both in this country and also in Europe.
Well, we have a major problem there because our position is too one-sided. And an American society that deliberately and conscientiously ignores the rights of a whole population of 4 or 5 million people is just, in the long run, it's not tolerable in our own terms. And in terms of the opinions of the rest of the world, it doesn't make sense as an image of the United States, so those things have to be fixed.
Yes, and it seems to me that, you know, when we look at this whole issue, clearly it's a moral issue. Clearly it's become a political and economic and military issue, because a lot of people would make the argument that the unsustainability of the American position in Palestine has resulted in a level of political blowback throughout the Middle East that has us in the present position that we're in as it relates to Iraq and other matters Middle Eastern. We also deal with, I think, getting back full circle to something that Pap has discussed in his book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, and you certainly talked about it in your article here, Terry, where the way in which Israel has sustained these policies since 1948 has largely been through controlling information and writing revisionist histories and putting a particular spin on information. I'm going to ask you when we come back about how non-alternative media may be in the process of undermining that Israeli strategy. We'll be back with Terry Arnold. This is Mark Hancock's America on RBN, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Terry Arnold. He has written a book entitled A World Less Safe that's available at Amazon. He's a regular columnist for Jeff Rentz at Rentz.com. He's a retired senior foreign service officer of the U.S. Department of State. His immediate pre-retirement positions were as chairman of the Department of International Studies of the National War College, and also as Deputy Director of the State Office of Counterterrorism and Emergency Planning. We've been chatting a little bit here about his article, the most recent one for Rentz, entitled Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. You know, there are a series of things, of course, that, Terry, we could chat about in regard to this article. One of the things I'd like to chat with you a little bit about is this whole business of the Balfour Declaration. You know, I have a friend who has a PhD in geography, Middle Eastern geography, from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I knew this guy at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago back in the early 1980s. He also has a degree from Michigan State and also from the Holy Land Institute in Jerusalem. His PhD thesis dealt with the Balfour Declaration from what was clearly a pro-Zionist point of view. I'm now reading much information on the Balfour Declaration that does not square with that thesis at all. One of the interesting things to me, and you mentioned it in your article, I also was reading about it in a book last night, that when Lord Balfour issued his declaration, he said in that declaration that nothing was to be done to disturb the rights of the people already in Palestine. In other words, the British government was putting its weight behind the idea that there should be a Jewish Zionist state of Israel in Palestine, but that nothing was to be done to disturb the rights of the people already there. How in the world did the English government come up with such a declaration, and how are we to read this Balfour Declaration today?
Well, I think it's very difficult. First of all, the declaration is only about five lines long, and therefore any attempt to get behind the logic of the position or to get details about the position is probably fruitless. You have to take the words as given. And the words as given say the right things about what should have been done in Palestine from the first day. But the problem is that that's not what was done. What was done was the Zionists, not all potential Israelis, the Zionists had a particular agenda in mind, and that was an all-Jewish state. And they could not have that with the Palestinians outnumbering them on the landscape, and that the demographic problem is still a problem for them, but it was an even bigger problem then because they were looking at a situation in which they had maybe 5 or 6% of the real estate of Palestine, and they had a population that was growing fairly steadily from immigration, and they needed more space. They couldn't figure out how to do it except by expelling the Palestinians, and that's what they set out to do. This was contrary to the Balfour Declaration, but the terms of that declaration were never enforced.
Is it legitimate to utilize the term ethnic cleansing to describe what happened in Palestine at that juncture?
Oh, it's perfectly legitimate. And I know that former President Jimmy Carter has taken a great deal of flack for using the term apartheid, but definitionally the term apartheid now applies to the present situation. There's no question about it.
And, you know, just talking about the Carter situation just for a moment since you've mentioned it, Terry, I have now done a cursory, and I emphasize cursory, initial reading of the Carter manuscript, because it's come up time and again on this show. One of the most amazing things to me about that book is that whatever one thinks of Jimmy Carter, pro or con, the notion that anything in his book should be construed to indicate that Carter is a racist or a bigot or an anti-Semite is utterly preposterous. And yet basically there has been a very strong element, it seems to me, in the Jewish community and in the Jewish lobby in this country that basically has accused the president of those types of leanings and that type of orientation. Comment on that for a moment, if you will, in regard to what that kind of demonization means, particularly when it's directed against a messenger like Jimmy Carter, who whatever one thinks of him one way or the other is clearly none of those things.
Well, you know, you remind me of an old-time maximum about legal cases. When the facts are on your side, it's a talking case. When the facts are not on your side, it's a shouting case, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I think what we have had is a long-running example of recognition on the part of the Zionists that they don't have a talking case because the facts do not support their position. They have a shouting case, and what they have done traditionally is try to kill the messenger. And Jimmy Carter stepped into the middle of the ring as a messenger on the subject of what has been going on and is going on in the Palestine region. And the objective is to assassinate the messenger.
Yes, and to me, it seems to me that you're exactly right. This is where people who do not have the facts on their side engage in a shouting case, engage in a demonization of the messenger. Only in this case, what is very, very curious about all of this is that, you know, with other people who have said some of the things that Carter has said, maybe, just maybe, it would be easier to demonize them. My friend Pat Buchanan, of course, was demonized by the Israeli lobby when he ran for president in 92 and 96.
Well, Pat's been pretty outspoken.
Sure, very outspoken, and I do not believe for 1 minute that Pat Buchanan is a racist or an anti-Semite in the true sense of the term. Nonetheless, he has been pilloried in that fashion. But I suppose, you know, it would be far easier to demonize Pat in that way or to demonize someone like me in that way. But when they start zeroing in on Jimmy Carter with this sort of thing, does this not indicate that maybe the Israeli lobby, despite its power and the incredible amount of money behind it, is getting a little bit desperate in regard to the way in which public debate and public opinion has perhaps shifted somewhat on this issue in the last 20 years or so?
Well, there's been a if you've been watching it that long, there's been a slow but nonetheless visible and directional trend toward greater openness on these subjects. What most Americans don't know or necessarily appreciate is that the debate in Israel itself has always been wide open. And in fact, there's one particularly outstanding participant in that debate named Yuri Avner, who's now, I guess, he's about 82 or 83 years old, but he was the bane of the existence of David Ben-Gurion way back in 1948, because he was standing out there saying, hey, wait a minute, these are not the correct rules of the game from a humanitarian point of view, and he's been delivering that message regularly ever since. He's delivering it today, as a matter of fact.
What is this gentleman's name again? I'm sorry.
Yuri Avnery, A-V-N-E-R-Y.
And oh, sure, sure. I know who he is. Sure.
Gush Shalom, a peace group. And he comes out with some pretty strong, clear statements about what is going on and what people should be thinking about it. And I have the sense that the majority of the people of Israel tend to agree with him more than they agree with their own government. But the Zionists have used their campaign of kill the messenger on their own people as well, and have used it very effectively.
Yes, and this gets into a question that, of course, I have covered with a couple of different guests on this show that are kind of in the theological realm of things, looking at the whole alliance between certain powerful figures in the Christian right in the United States. I'm thinking of John Hagee of Cornerstone Church right here in San Antonio, who has his Christians United for Israel organization. Certainly Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Paul Crouch, some of the usual players in that realm have been continuing to beat the drums very hard for a totally pro-Zionist, totally pro-Israel position. Now, of course, these people are perceived in a particular way in the secular media. But I'm beginning to detect that there's just the beginning, maybe, of a renewed attempt at a debate on this when it comes to this whole subject within the Christian world. I know that I am identified in some respects as being on the Christian right. I'm a conservative pastor. I have certain positions that would be rather predictable as a result of that identification, and yet I am on a different page completely from Hagee and Falwell and Robertson when it comes to this whole issue of Zionism and what we've done in Palestine. If I'm feeling that way now based upon my past, say, 30 years ago, I suspect that maybe there are other people as well who are beginning to reassess this. Do you think that Israel's relationship and utilization of the American Christian right is perhaps something that's going to backfire at some point?
I think it slowly is coming apart. From your position, you would see quite well that the efforts of church organizations such as the Presbyterians to back off from investments in Israel because of the way the Israelis have been dealing with the Palestinian people. Those are very forceful moves, and I think they are headed in a direction of a fairly wide, over time anyway, a fairly wide backing away from what has been the total blind support of the Israelis by the Christian right. It's hard to sustain. It's hard to defend because it's hard for a Christian organization, frankly, to defend such continuous violations of human rights.
Yes, and this is where I think the alternative media comes in here. I think back to where I was as a college student 30-some-odd years ago at Valparaiso University in Indiana when I was reading newspapers like the Chicago Tribune and the Indianapolis Star, but more importantly, I would go to the library and avail myself of the what I thought were the best publications on the American right at that time, Bill Buckley's National Review and Tom Winter's Human Events being the two most obvious examples. And frankly, I tended to believe anything that I read in National Review or Human Events. Virtually anything that they said, I accepted at face value as being true, given my political ideology at that time.
Well, that was once the magic of print, you know.
Exactly. And now, of course, all these years later, dealing with the Internet and dealing with the availability of an incredible amount of information responsibly presented by people who don't agree with that sort of thing at all as it pertains to things Israeli and Palestinian, that would include your pieces at Rents, for example. I had no accessibility to this kind of writing and this kind of technology a generation ago. So presumably, as the accessibility of this information has caused me over time to thoughtfully alter my views, I suspect that there are many other people out there, although I don't have a scientific random sample survey to prove this, but I just have this sense that there is a shift that is taking place slowly but surely, and that a lot of it has to do, again, with alternative media and the way in which the Internet has given people like me, average people like me, an accessibility to the works of Terry Arnold and a series of other people, where I look at these things and read through them, and I look at the credentials of the people that bring this sort of information to the fore, and I go, wait a minute, this looks like pretty credible stuff being argued by somebody who obviously has a much better professional background in this than I do. They're pointing out things I have never thought of before, and all of a sudden, it's not only causing me to reassess what I think about Israel and Palestine, but it's causing me to reassess what I perceived 30 years ago, not simply in regard to the mainstream publications of the American right, but the way in which I now have a complete disdain for corporate news media, largely because of their failure on this subject. If I'm going through this, do you perceive in your conversations with people, Terry, that there are other average folks that you encounter who write you who are describing the same odyssey?
Oh, I think a lot of people are on this trip. I teach regular classes in adult education here, and I get a lot of feedback on that level of feedback. There are many people who are questioning some of the traditional postures on the Middle East, and they're particularly questioning the hard over position that our governments have traditionally taken in dealing with that area.
Yes, and it's certainly caused me to reassess all kinds of things. I go back to certain things I was taught in high school history in Hawaii when I was going to school over there, when my dad was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base, and going back all those many, many years ago, thinking about certain things in my high school history textbook pertaining to the Spanish-American War or pertaining to Pearl Harbor or the Kennedy assassination, that now require reexamination in terms of all of the things that have come to the fore that provide a completely different perspective on those events. I would suspect that the Palestinian question also falls in that category.
Well, it certainly does. What we see is a slow fading of the age of innocence in American view of what media do. The media are no longer trusted in my estimate by very many people, and it's not because of the rampant commercialism that's associated with them, but it's because they have demonstrated track record of unreliability in recent times, And that's very hard to overcome. They have, they may or may not realize how much work they need to do in order to recapture credibility.
Yes, and that gets into, of course, this whole issue of the relationship between what corporate media produces and what its advertisers want and demand. And so there's the constant struggle for journalists who are writing for mainstream publications that we would define as being involved in corporate media. Many of them may have an inkling to tell the truth once in a while, but then you get into questions of personal and professional and career disaster that may ensue if you say certain kinds of things too many times.
You have to make a decision about that, and a number of people have been making decisions about that, both people in government who recognize that if they take certain positions, they are, in a sense, declaring themselves out of the fray as government officers. A number of are doing that. We're seeing a fair amount of that, and I think that's most encouraging.
Yes, I think it's. I think maybe what we're dealing with is a situation here where there has been such a moral crisis produced by all of this that it's causing a few more people to step out and to risk life and limb and career because the situation simply mandates that we do so. I wanted to talk to you about something else that's in the article. You have here mentioned four myths that are discussed in Zionism and the birth of Middle East terrorism. We'll cover the second myth when we come back, the myth that Zionists invented, which was that the Palestinians left their land voluntarily. This is Mark Gantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Terry Arnold of Rents.com. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Terry Arnold. He is the author of the recently published work, A World Less Safe. You can find that at Amazon. He's also a regular columnist on Rents.com. And among many things that we've been chatting about this morning, we've been taking a look at Terry's most recent effort for Rents entitled Zionism and the Birth of Middle East Terrorism. I wanted to warn Terry and also the guests that this tends to be a time in these next 10 minutes or so of frequent commercial interruption. And then beginning at, right around 7 minutes after the hour, there will be a time for more extended conversation again. So we should not be surprised when these commercial breaks occur. I would like to say at this particular juncture that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org. or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org, or also at 1-800-724-2719. You can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by utilizing those same contact points, www.republicbroadcasting.org and the World Wide Web, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. And at Breaking All the Rules News today, America's leading paleo-conservative website, I hope to have additions that pertain to the last 3 days of my efforts on this show. Monday we had Ruzbeh Foranipour on from the Marzipor Gohar organization, the Iranian human rights outfit that is based in Los Angeles. I'll be posting information on that show today at BATR. Tex Mars was with us yesterday to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. That's a Rivercrest publishing effort out of Austin, Texas. And, of course, today we're talking with Terry Arnold of Rents.com. And in all of these instances, both at BATR News in the next 24 hours or so, as well as at the Republic Broadcasting Network archive when these shows become archived, guest descriptions and subject descriptions will be there, along with URLs to all of the things that the guests highlight in regard to their articles and publishing efforts and so forth and so on. And today, hopefully, by the end of the day, I will have information on Terry Arnold's appearance on this show with links both to his most recent effort for Rents as well as the Terry Arnold archives. So those of you who listen to RBN, who also read Breaking All the Rules News, will in the next day or so be able to access all of these things simply at the click of a button to get into a deeper understanding of all of the various things that are said by these guests, because radio, as good as it is, cannot compensate for doing a lot of in-depth reading in regard to what these scholars and academicians bring to us on a regular basis for understanding of things Middle Eastern and Palestinian and Iranian, as well as all kinds of domestic issues pertaining to the American domestic scene. We, again, would like to have you support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. When we come back, we will be re-engaged again with conversation with Terry Arnold. Stay tuned.